The sermon this week is titled, Remain in Me. The scripture reading is John 15, 1-4. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me.
Good morning, everyone. It's my prayer that 2020 will be a profound spiritual experience for you. And I want to begin 2020 looking in John chapter 15 as a great reminder of how we can continually grow in Christ. He talks about remaining in me. This is the story of Jesus from chapter 13 of John. From that point forward, he's on his way to the cross. And the cross is not a failure. And you've probably heard from this pulpit many times that in my understanding of Scripture, when on the cross, Jesus died, and just before he died, he said, "It is finished," that those words were the most profound words ever spoken because life for all people has now drastically changed. From that point on, sins will be forgiven. Up until that point, Jesus is reminding us to remain in him. And there are three concepts in this passage of John chapter 15 that I think are wonderful words as we begin a brand new year, where it's almost as if Jesus is whispering into our ear these words, remain in me. He says it in verse 5, he says it in verse 4, he says it in verse 7. And then he whispers in our other ear, remain in my words. He says that in verse 7. And then he says loudly into both of our ears and right into our heart, remain in my love. And I hope that for everyone here today, that 2020 will be a monumental spiritual experience for you, that you will find Jesus in a profound way, living in your heart like maybe he's never lived before, and that his words will be transforming words for you spiritually, and that your love will grow in Christ as Christ pours out his love into us. So just a couple of thoughts this morning. When Jesus says, remain in me, it's not a threat. Have you ever heard someone, maybe behind a pulpit, preach, you better remain in Christ or else? Well, maybe there's times for that. I don't know. But that's not what Jesus is saying here. He says, remain in me. It's not a threat. It's not demanding. It's not onerous. It's very similar to the words of Jesus that you know so well. Come to me, all of you who are heavy laden, who are burdened, and I will give you rest, your soul's rest. It's very similar to the words of Jesus. Trust in God, trust also in me. And it's very similar to the invitation that Jesus offers to all of us when he said, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life, a life that makes sense and works today and tomorrow and forever. Let's just spend a little bit of time looking at this passage. He begins by saying that we're connected to him and that we need to remain in him, remain in his words. And even though that sounds wonderful, there are going to be some difficult times. Back in the Gospel of Matthew, this is not on PowerPoint, around chapter 24, Jesus talks to people about false prophets who will come into the world, even false messiahs who will be able to perform miracles. But he goes on to say, but you will know them for who they are as the days continue, because they will demonstrate themselves about wanting the glory for themselves. And that's not what Jesus did. That's not how he spoke. That's not how he lived. And these words that he gives to us are wonderful words. They're powerful words. Let me just read to you some of the things in John chapter 15. And if you were in the audience that day, like you are today, and hearing these words of Jesus, we understand what he's saying. One of the best ways of teaching, this is the way I learn anyway, is repetition. I want to hear it, and I want to hear it, and I want to hear it, and I want to hear it. In verse 4, he says, remain in me, I also remain in you. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you, so remain in me, I also will remain in you. And then in verse 5, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches, if you remain in me. Verse 6, if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. And then verse 7, if you remain in my words, let those words remain in you. And then he talks about love. And that's why I know this is not a threat. Jesus didn't say, you better do this or else. Or if you do this, then I will love you. Jesus is saying, I love you. And one of the ways that you can reciprocate that or grow in your love is by accepting the love I want to give you, that I've poured out for you. And so he says in verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. So now, remain in my love. And then he says in verse 12, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. And then in verse 15, he says, I no longer call you servants because servants do not know their master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you may go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so whatever you ask in the name of the Father, I will give you. This is my command, love each other. And it seems from this point forward, Satan is influencing the apostles in a horrible way, in a negative way, and in a powerful way. And Jesus will come to Peter, and he uses a different name, the original, Simon, and he says this, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith will not fail. And this is interesting. And when you have returned to me, then I will strengthen the brethren. Now, I don't know if you caught this or not. Jesus says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you, Simon, that your faith will not fail, but it will fail. And when you have returned to me, he's already told Peter, this is what's going to happen to you, but you're going to come back to me because I have poured out my love into your heart. And Peter, you know deep down inside that my love will remain in you no matter what. And even if you were to walk away from me and never come back to me, that's never going to stop me from loving you. I am pouring out my love into your heart forever and forever. And I wonder if that's where Peter got his strength from, because we know he turned his back on Christ at that ultimate no moment. And yet, Peter came back to Jesus in a powerful way, so powerful that Jesus basically says to Peter at the end of all of this what he just said here. in John 15. Remain in me. Peter, I want you to go and I want you to build my church upon the rock, the statement that you have made, that you are the Christ, that you are the Son of the living God. And yes, you're going to fail. And yes, you've backed away. But I want you to go and take care of my sheep. And someone says, okay, I got that. So what about us? How does this scripture affect us in any way? Have you ever backed away spiritually? Maybe quite unintentionally? And maybe for a week or two or a month or year or years, you wondered, what happened? Where my strength for Christ and my love for Christ and my speaking to Christ, my prayers for Christ was so powerful that I knew that I was always going to be this close to Christ. Where did it go? What happened? And often, life happens. And often, Satan says to us what Satan said to Peter, whatever those words were deep in his heart that pulled him back. And if we could hear what Jesus said to Simon, to us, we're not going to fail. Don, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. But I prayed for you, Don, that your faith will not fail, and it will fail. And that when you have returned to me, that you'll strengthen the brothers and sisters. That you will be an advocate for my love. So he says, remain in me, remain in my words, and remain in my love. This is similar to what the Apostle Paul says in the book of Colossians, where he says, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. So if you're here today and you do not have a motto for the year 2020, let me share this one with you. Wouldn't Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7 be a great motto, a great theme for my life for this year, for your life this year? So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted, built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. I'm not going to allow the burdens of this world to pull me down. So we need to be reminded of what Jesus said. Remain in me. Remain in my words. And remain in my love. And so John doesn't leave this theme alone. And going now to 1 John, I'd like you to notice, if you want to follow in your Bibles, in 1 John, he gives us strength and encouragement to do everything that we've just talked about. In 1 John chapter 2, he talks about the strength that we receive from God through his Holy Spirit that is being poured out into our lives. Now, we believe strongly that from the very beginning, in the beginning was the Creator who created all things, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. One of the first things we know about God is that there's a multiplicity to him. There's a multiplicity of him. We, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, let us make humankind in our image. If we could ever just stop for a moment and think that God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit is part of our makeup, let us make them in our image. And so when Christ is teaching us to remain in him, to remain in his words, to remain in his love, he says, oh, and by the way, I'm going to help you with this. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit to help you to live the way Christ wants us to live. And he uses this word that we don't use very often. It's the word anointing, pouring out an anointing into our life. This is not some scary thing. It's not some kind of weird business. It's the presence of God living in us. Isn't it just amazing to think of, here's the teaching of Jesus. Remain in me, remain in my words, remain in my love. And oh, by the way, I'm going to help you with that. I'm going to pour out myself into your life, and I'm going to pour out my Holy Spirit into your life to help you to remain in me, to remain in my words, and to remain in my love. And that maybe you can be an encouragement to others because he's given us this anointing, this presence of God in our life. There is more to each one of us than us. God knew us before we were born. He says in Colossians, he knew you before the creation of the world. Psalm 103 also talks about that, that God didn't only create us, but he gives himself to us. How can we remain in him? By understanding the Holy Spirit is an advocate for us, and he's helping us to do this. So he says in verse 20, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you don't know the truth, but because you do know it. And because no lie comes from truth. Who is the liar? It is whoever denies that Jesus is the Messiah. Such a person is the Antichrist. And this is where a lot of people want to go to the farthest extreme and talk about the Antichrist being some kind of horrible thing that's going to destroy the world and so forth and so on. The Antichrist, used by John, all throughout his teaching, is anyone who is against Christ, anyone who proposes evil against Christ, the opposite of Christ, just as Satan was. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. We still have antichrists in this world, people who make fun of anyone who believes in Christ, people who are living their lives trying to influence us away from Christ, all kinds of different teachings that oppose Christ, oppose Christianity, that's the Antichrist. But you have an anointing. And we can't think for a moment that Antichrists aren't powerful. They're well-educated people who want to pull us away from Christ. And the Holy Spirit is wanting to pull us to Christ. Remembering the words, remain in me. Remain in my teaching. Remain in my love. Because the antichrists are wanting to pull you away from that. You have an anointing, the Holy One, who will help us with this. And then he says, such a person is the antichrist, denying the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. And then I'm going to skip down to verse 26. And here is what John says. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you received from God remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and has that anointing is real, it's not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. So John hears the words of Jesus. Remain in me, remain in my teaching, remain in my love. Years later, John writes through all kinds of churches, and he repeats the sermon. Remain in Christ. We have an anointing from Christ. And he goes from that, and we'll conclude with this, with you can have confidence. You can have confidence that you remain in him. You can have confidence that you remain in his teaching. You can have confidence that you remain in his love. We don't get everything right, but we know one thing. I love him, he loves me. I love his words love me and bless me. His presence blesses me and you. And so he says, you can know this. Not N-O, K-N-O-W. You can be sure. You've got this. Hey, if you're off track for a while, hey, get back to this. You know this. He's not going to leave. You know this. You have this anointing. You know this. Many times in the scripture talks about God's Spirit living in us. The Holy Spirit testifies with our own spirit, what? That we are God's children. And he loves his children. He'd give anything for his children. He did. He gave it all. And he still does. He's never stopped. He has never stopped. He has never stopped. And he won't. And so, at the beginning, when Jesus says, remain in me, remain in my words, remain in my teaching, remain in me, he says, you can know this. You can know this. So he says in chapter 3 and verse 1, see what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, exclamation point. And that is what we are, exclamation point. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. But dear friends, now we are children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know, and this is powerful, but we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. I hope that 2020 will be a profound spiritual experience for each one of us as we remember to love Christ, to remain in him, to remain in his teaching, to stay close to him and remain in his love. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets Sunday mornings at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We have classes for all ages at 9:30, and the worship service begins at 10:30. You can subscribe to podcasts through Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music Store, or your favorite podcast app. Just search for Beamsville. All our past sermons and more information about our congregation are available at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.